Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
James chapter 2, verse 14 through 20, reading a few more verses than I normally do, but these are so powerful. I heard a man years ago, a televangelist on TV, said the book of James is a spurious text and the whole book should be eliminated from the Bible. When somebody wants to eliminate a scripture from the Bible, that tells you that's really the one they need. That's the one that they find abrasive, and that abrasion is what sharpens us to be what God wants us to be. This is a powerful portion of God's scripture on faith. I'm talking today, and I don't have as long as I want, but I can be here next Sunday. Can you be here next Sunday? Let's just make it a day. I'll be here next Sunday if you are. We'll continue this, and I won't have to take so long today. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, that's an amazing number, $7,000, and we're giving away food every day to help people. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. This is a powerful verse right here. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Look at that verse. He said, just saying that you're a believer in God is not enough. Even the devil does that, and it hasn't saved him. But thou will know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. You may be seated. The birth and death of faith. Faith is great. Faith is grand. Faith is a thing of grandeur. Faith is splendid. Faith is the fuel of civilization. Faith is why most people get up out of bed every morning. It's why right now scientists are working 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day, scientists are working to get a vaccination for the pandemic that we are experiencing. That's all because of faith. Faith invents. Faith builds houses. Faith builds hospitals. Faith builds churches. T.L. Osborne, a great missionary pastor from years gone by, I drove to Houston to hear him, and I was a little bit let down that night because I thought he was just going to say words I'd never heard before in my life. But he preached a whole sermon that night at John Osteen at the old Lakewood Church on the subject. It's great to have faith. I thought of the time that it was both superficial and simplistic, but it was neither. 30 years later, I have never forgotten that message. It is great to have faith. The greatest thing that can happen to you is that you have and walk in faith. This text from the book of James is an insightful commentary on that faith. And James, you know who James was? He wasn't just anybody, he was somebody. The author of his namesake book, but he was also the son of the venerable Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. It would be nearly impossible to introduce anybody with better credentials than James. James introduces us to a thought, more than a thought, a revelation, that faith is amazing, but faith can die, and faith does die. And why does faith die? Before we answer that, let's establish the truth of the text. There is a place where faith dies. Let's search some of the mysteries of faith. You know, everybody comes into a service, and if they hear a real stirring message, they have momentary faith. But for some people, that faith dies before they get to the car. It dies before they get home, and it certainly dies before they get up in the morning. And anything they've heard does not really change their life. We don't want to be like that. The Bible said that every man, not just Christian people, that every man is born with a measure of faith. That's Romans 12, 3. It's a measure of faith. It's starter faith. It's where we began. Most people have lost a lot of that faith by the time they come to the age of accountability because there's such an assault on it from this society. The news media assaults your faith. Not intentionally, but I know that I never feel better after having watched the news. I always feel worse. I know that it's not something that says, wow, I'm going to go out and do better. That's not what the news does. It's just a collection of negativity that affects my faith. And not just that, but you can also receive negativity in a classroom. And unfortunately, you can receive negativity from a lot of the pulpits of America. Most people have lost a lot of the faith that God gave them by the time they're 10 or 12 years of age. Faith has to be reclaimed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, faith cannot be accumulated by hearing and memorizing large portions of the Bible. I know people that are scholarly, and they memorize portions of Scriptures, but these are not necessarily the people that build the hospitals or build the churches or do great things. These are just students that like to commit things to memory. And so you cannot accumulate faith just by hearing. Faith is received incrementally, very small portions of faith. But if you can retain your faith from yesterday and add your faith from today, after a while it starts becoming very, very powerful. Faith is received here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. When the word is heard, it must be acted on to produce faith. It's not just enough to hear it. The Bible said, be not hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word of God. The Bible declares in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You hear the word of God, faith comes momentarily in your heart, and then you walk out and do nothing with it. It actually is no longer faith. Now it is turned into sin. Faith, unfortunately, is not constant. It's fluid. It changes all the time. There's an ebb and flow of faith. And faith comes in all sizes. It's not one size fits all. There's some people that resolve themselves to having no faith. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, and he did, talking about Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They had no faith in who Christ was and what Christ could do. No faith. And then Jesus said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds. So there's no faith, there's little faith. And then Jesus would say again in Matthew 8 and 10, talking to the centurion, and he said, he marveled, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. So there's no faith, there's little faith, there's great faith. And then Jesus would talk to Peter when he knew that he was leaving, and he said, I'm praying for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. And one translation said that your faith will not shrink. So there is shrinking faith. And then the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:15, he said, your faith is increased. So there is increasing faith. So I pick about two out of that list. I want to have great faith, but not just great faith. I want to have increasing faith. It's the reason why I love Dr. Price's telecast, Ever Increasing Faith. Just the name was encouraging to me. Ever Increasing Faith. I've been preaching now for a half of a century, believe that or not. I've been preaching for over 50 years now, but I believe my faith is much greater than it was when I started 50 years ago. I believe it's greater than it was 5 years ago. I believe it's greater than it was 1 year ago. I believe it's greater than it was Wednesday night. I believe I have ever-increasing faith, and that is my goal. And so James would talk about dying faith. He said, if you have not works, he said, your faith is dead being alone. Works is the oxygen of faith. It's what keeps faith alive. One of the greatest tactics of the devil is to eliminate our opponent, to eliminate his opponent. And the way he does that is to make you faithless. That's what the devil wants in your life. And you know how you do that? Labels are a terrible thing generally. They can be great, but they are generally very bad. And so the devil can eliminate your faith just by labeling you. If you're labeled a racist, you're eliminated as a participant in the dialogue of freedom. Once they put that label on you, it's over. You don't have any input. If you are labeled a homophobe, you're totally eliminated in the conversation of equality. Once they assign you with that label, I use these only as illustrations because the church has its own tactic of elimination. If you're labeled a legalist, now a legalist is somebody that thinks they're saved by their good works. There's not one Christian person that understands the gospel that believes that he is saved by good works. We understand that we are saved only by the acts of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross in our place. So our faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. But if they can label you as a legalist, they can tell you, don't think for a moment that your salvation is because of works. We don't. But they extend that label to say, and you should not participate in good works. But James said, if you do not let that saving faith participate in good works, your faith will die. Let us all agree we are saved by faith and faith alone. But let us also understand that faith cannot live without works. It simply cannot. Works is the oxygen of faith. It's not faith or works. It is the works of faith. Works are the fruit of faith. It is that which by nature is denied the ability to produce faith will die. If something is created to produce fruit and it doesn't do it, it will die. True faith is becoming extinct by the attack of the faith produced by works. Works keeps faith alive. Build up your faith. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Everything about Christianity, once we get saved, is about works. Prayer is hard work. So, well, I haven't found it that way. You haven't prayed much. Prayer is hard work. Fasting is hard work. Preaching is hard work. Testimonies are hard work. Coming to church is hard work. You could have been better served in your flesh by still being in your jammies in your bed right now. But you got up, and it was work to get yourself ready. Oh, I know we think you're that beautiful. Oh, no, 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 no. Some of you work long and hard to look as pretty as you do right now. A friend of mine, which is a beautiful woman, I was preaching for her and her husband. She's absolutely exquisitely beautiful. And I was in her living room about 2 a.m., and she didn't know that I was there. I was setting up late, and she came from her bedroom, going to her refrigerator and passed through the living room. I didn't recognize her. I'd known her 30 years. Where were the eyelashes? Where was the lipstick? And when she saw me, she liked to pass out. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. She is beautiful, but she works to be beautiful. There's a couple of us in the house. It's just natural for us, but all of you. It's a lot of work to come to the house of God. Everything about Christianity is work. You cannot have faith without works because James said it will die. If faith can't talk, it will die. And so many people get faith. They come to the house of God. They hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, but then their faith dies. Because the Bible teaches us that we are to confess, to begin to speak in faith. Friend, I want to be a person of faith. And so if I'm going to be a person of faith, I have to be a person of conversation and confession. I have to be a person that is able to actually speak the word of God because it keeps my faith alive. And so I'm here to tell you that Jesus is Lord. That's a great confession. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is an ever-present help. That's a great confession. I'm here to tell you that God is on your side. That's a great confession. All of that keeps my faith alive. I refuse to come into the house of God and get big faith and then let it die in the parking lot or let it die in my home the next few hours. I'm going to keep my faith alive, and I do that by working and doing what God has called me to do. What is it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If you want to have big faith, you've got to learn to speak big faith. You've got to learn to speak the word of faith, the word of God. God is my healer. God is my sustainer. I am able to do all things through Christ which strengthen me. I am more than an overcomer. I used to be weak, but now I am strong Praise God. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The creative Spirit of God lives inside of me. What is this? This is the word of faith being kept alive in my life. You can't get faith in this building and then go out and mumble and grumble and complain and criticize and say, but I want my faith to still be there. Oh, friend, I want to tell you that faith can resolve every problem. Faith can diminish every enemy, but you have to keep it alive. So it's not just enough to hear the word of God and say, I got it now. It doesn't work that way. Faith will die on your lips if you say the wrong thing, if you make the wrong confession. Well, my mama, she had a heart attack at 43. I think I'm going to say that. I think I'm going to have the same thing. You say that and your faith dies on your lips. You've got to say, praise God, I know something my mama did not know. She was a wonderful woman, but praise God, I'm a little different than my mama. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm full of the Word of God. I'm full of hope and faith, praise God. And I'm not going to die at 43. I'm going to live to see my great-grandchildren. That's what I'm going to do. What is it? It's making faith live and live and live. Don't let your faith die. The devil wants to label you and kill your faith. Don't take the devil's labels. Declare who you are in Christ. I'm a giant killer. I'm major in the Lord. I am a tool in the hand of Almighty God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can overcome every obstacle. It doesn't matter what the devil does against me. Praise God. I'm going to put him under my heel. He's going to be under my foot and not on my back. In the name of Jesus, we've got to learn to speak it all the time. You've got to work on that every day. That's something you ought to be working. You didn't learn to speak English or Spanish just by getting up one morning. It was there. You learned it line by line and precept upon precept and word by word. And so is faith. You need to learn to speak the language of faith. I'm bigger than this. I'm stronger than that. It doesn't matter what they said. God's equipped me. I'm going to overcome that situation. I thank the doctors, and we're big on health caregivers around this church. But praise God, when they give me a report, I like to take Becky's song she wrote and say, whose report am I going to believe? I don't believe the report of the doctor. One of our members called me a while back, and he said, when you get bad reports, they don't last long, do they? No, because I begin to take the word of faith, and I say, I don't think the doctor's a liar. I don't think he's wrong. He went to school and studied long and hard to know what he knows. But praise God, I know a God that can change things. I know a God of the turnaround. I know a God that can bring healing where there's sickness, life where there is death, joy where there is sadness. That's the God that I know. And let me talk about him. He's altogether lovely. Nothing is too hard for him. He can give me joy when I was despondent. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is a wonderful God. He's been my friend. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When the doctor said, you got cancer, God said, you don't have to have it. Do you want it? I said, I don't want it. And the Lord healed me. And the Lord healed Sean last year of cancer. And the Lord healed Becky of cancer. Praise God. I do not receive the reports of negativity and condemnation because I've got faith and I refuse to let my faith die. My faith's not going to get big in church and die at home. My faith's not going to be big in church and die at work. My faith is not going to be big in church and die in my car because I'm going to confess the word of God. Faith lives on my lips. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy heart. But confess it with your words. Say, the Lord is strengthening me. I'm stronger than I've ever been. My health is better than it's ever been, praise God. I've got more money than I've ever had. God's opening a door for me. God's making a way where there is no way. My business is going to flourish. I am going to win this election, praise God. Get up every morning and look in the mirror and tell yourself who you are. I'm made in the image of God. I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. I'm not a failure, I'm a success story, praise God. Why? Because I've got faith, and my faith will not die. I won't let it die, praise God. Every time I come to God's house, I leave feeling better. Why? It was a work, praise God. It was something that took effort, but it strengthened my faith. Hallelujah. I live on good works. The Bible tells us that we are to be people of good works. And when I do good works, my faith grows. It stands up. It makes a face of the devil. It laughs at the devil, praise God. I'm like Sarah, considered not the deadness of her womb. I'm like Abraham. I'm 100 years old, but I'm going to be a father, praise God. Why? Because God is able, and God is greater, and I'm a son of God, and I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. The Lord and I are on the same side. We will overcome every enemy and every tool of every enemy. Praise God. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be lively. Can you give God some praise in this house today? Hallelujah. So it's not enough to get faith. So many Christians are like the mother that desires a child. And she carries that child in her womb, but she doesn't listen to any of the instructions of the doctor. She continues to drink alcohol, smoke tobacco, and take drugs. And when the child is aborted, she said, oh, I wanted that child so bad. Not really. Not really. It's more than conception. It's carrying your faith to fruition. It takes a while to have a baby. It's not just a one-night stand. It's living a life for 9 months carrying that baby. And so you can't just go hear T.D. Jakes preach and say, I'm so inspired, and then go out and live the same negative life you've always lived and think you're going to get results and fruit of faith. It's simply not going to happen. You've got to get faith, and then you got to say, now I'm going to keep my faith alive. Anything that is negative toward my faith, I rebuke it. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Wow, I got great faith. You need to learn to say that. I've learned to just say that to myself several times a day, Sister Gloria. I've got great faith. I've got great faith. You know, several years ago, God put a couple of men in my life. One of them was Rex Johnson, and the other one was Brent Norton. And you know what? God put those two men in my life. Both of them claimed coming in contact with me changed their life. And that's not the important part to me. I'm glad their life was changed. But they changed my life by telling me I changed their life because they told me that I was the greatest man of faith that they had ever met. And they said, everything about you is faith. And every time I get around these guys, they would talk about my faith. And after a while, I began to hear what they were saying about me, and I began to say what they were saying about me. That's the reason why you can't live with critics. You can't live with people tearing you down. After a while, you'll begin echoing what they're saying. I'm going to get around people that are saying, wow, you're something. Wow, you've got faith. Praise God. A lady wrote to me from California 20 years ago, seeing me on a telecast. And she said, if I could live with you, and if I could live in San Antonio, and I could go to your church, she said, I could have faith that would change the world. I don't know who that lady is. I never heard of her again. But praise God, I still remember her little letter because it gave me faith. That's who I want to be in your life. I want to help you get faith, but I want to help you maintain faith. I want to be a person that refuses to let faith die in your life. Look how far the Lord has brought you. But praise God, you've got a ways to go yet. It's better than it used to be, but it's not as good as it's going to get. The best is yet to come. You got more money than you used to have, but you're going to get more money. Oh, you're doing well, but you're going to do better. Your business is starting to do good, but it's going to flourish. It's going to be really good. I know you got a good job, but you're going to get a raise, praise God. You're going to get a promotion. I want to be not only somebody that helps faith come to your life, I want to keep faith from dying in your life. And that's the reason why we have so many services. Say, one service is enough. Oh, no, I really need to talk to you every day and tell you who you are in the Lord. Assure your identity that you're not in the flesh, but you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And if the same Spirit that was in Christ is in you and raised Him from the dead, it can raise you out of every dilemma. There is no bad news that will last. There is no bad report that will come to fruition. God's on your side. You've got great faith. You've got great faith. This church has the greatest faith of any place I've ever been. And praise God, we've come from nothing to be on this freeway and have $50 million in assets. But that's not the best we can do. We're going to affect the city of San Antonio with a message of hope, and love and unity and peace, praise God. Hallelujah. It's not about one race. It's about us all coming together. It's about diversity, praise God. It's about this church looking like heaven. It's about us being one people and being a victorious people. Not a defeated people, but a victorious people. An overcoming people. A profitable people. A well people. A joy people. Hey, the Lord is on your side. I want to tell you, I've got great faith. And when I listen to the political infighting, if I take that in and suck that in, it attacks my faith. I get to block that out. When they talk about the pandemic, they said the other day that in 3 months in the state of Florida, that everybody in the state of Florida will have the virus in 3 months. That's their prediction. That's not good. I don't want to hear that stuff. I got to turn off my television. I got to go back to the Word of God. I've got to remind God who I am. I've got to remind myself who God is. He is the creator. He is the fixer. He is the healer. He's the restorer. He's the God of my salvation, and he lives. Would you stand on your feet right now? Stand on your feet. Lift both hands, and would you say this? I have great faith. I have great faith. I have great faith. Hallelujah. My faith turns to healing. My faith turns to love. The Bible said the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. My faith turns to love. My faith will even turn to money, praise God. My faith turns to victory. There's somebody in this building, I don't know who you are, but since I saw you last Sunday, you've been slapped up beside this head. Somebody's discouraged you. Somebody said something negative against you. Somebody's done something against you that's tried to pull you down, and it's depressed you a little bit. I rebuke that depression right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You were created in the image of Almighty God. That person is a liar and being used by the devil to try to destroy your faith. But hey, you got great faith. You need to right now say, hey, I'm going to manifest my great faith. I'm going to come to this altar. I'm going to lift both hands and declare that I am a worshiper of Almighty God and that no weapon formed against me can bring me down. I will defeat every enemy. Somebody in this building right now has got a bad report from the doctor. God is greater. God is your healer. Do you know how many people that the doctor said you won't live are alive and well? One of my best friends, I went to see him this week. He has a daughter that's 40-some years old. She has what the doctors called incurable leukemia. The doctor said to her last week at her last appointment, I'm amazed that you're still alive. You've been treating her for years. You should have died 5 years ago. If the doctor can be wrong about how long you should have lived, he can be wrong about that little word called incurable. There is no such thing as incurable in God. God is a healer for what the world would call incurable. You got a problem you can't solve, God is the solution. God can turn around. All you need is faith. If you're in this building right now and you've got a sickness that doctors can't fix, you ought to walk to this altar. If you've got a financial crisis that you can't figure your way out of, you need to walk to this altar. If you've got a relationship that is unbearable and irreconcilable, you need to walk down this aisle and say, right now, God's going to reconcile this. God's going to fix this marriage. God's going to fix this circumstance. God's going to reunite me with my mother, my daddy, my daughter, my son. God is able. Nothing is too hard for God to save by few or by many. He's waiting on your faith. He's waiting on your faith. And so faith comes in like a flood. But then the devil drains it off. And your faith dies because you don't act on what God is telling you to do. God's going to give you some instructions for this week. But his instruction right now is to get out of your pew, lift your hands, and begin to worship the Lord like a wild woman or a man out of control and say, God, I believe that you are able. That's step one. And then God's going to send you out of this building. There's phone calls to be made, checks to be written, things to be done. And if you will do that in the name of Jesus Christ, I promise you, your life will turn around because faith is creative. Say that with me. Faith is creative. That word creative means make something out of nothing. God's going to make something out of nothing in your life in the name of Jesus. Anybody else? Is there anybody in this building that's never given your life to Christ? Anybody never been baptized in water? Never been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, somebody said, well, you know, I'm a believer, but I...